Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. I'm the president of American Right to Life, and Bob will be joining us in just a minute. But before he does, I wanted to talk to you about this show. This is a month for Bob's Telethon to raise the financial support to keep this show on the air for another year. So far, we're at $4,800 of a $25,000 goal. And I just wanted to encourage you to support this ministry. There are so many things to consider about this ministry. All of this tremendous energy that's taking place in the pro-life community right now. All of these things that are happening with American Right to Life, with Colorado Right to Life, with many national groups that are joining together for this personhood movement, to establish personhood for the unborn. So much of that energy is centered around this ministry. And you might be surprised to know just how many organizations rely on the work done here at Bob Inyart Live. Beyond that, this ministry offers Christian teaching, clearly offers pro-life leadership, and then strategies from the Bible, strategies that most of us have never heard outside of this ministry, yet once we hear them, we can go to the Bible and find them and understand how valuable they are. There's also products that teach about the Bible, about Christianity, products that inspire, products that encourage. There is so much here that I hope you will support this ministry. It is crucial both in just the Christian movement, but really crucial in the pro-life movement. And so if you can, please join us. Call us to talk about the topics of today if you'd like to at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or call that number as well to offer your support to this ministry. Bob, welcome to your show.
Brian, thank you so much. And it's humbling to be here and to listen to that intro. But there's a passion and a commitment, a fierce commitment to the truth and to the Lord. And there is a renewed momentum among Christians to engage our culture on all these issues, but especially around the right to life and God's enduring command, do not murder.
Well, that's right. And when we talk about the right to life, the God-given right to life, what one thing that we need to consider is we can look at the news stories today. There's another tragic school shooting, and we can link that back to the intentional killing of the unborn, the devaluing of human life, the belief that we don't have a creator, that we came from the slime, and therefore anything we can do, anything that we do, is okay.
Oh, yeah, and the despair that comes from these leading evolutionists saying there's no purpose in life. Life has no purpose. It has no meaning. And if these things are true, young people take this, and they process it, and they end up living lives of despair. And, of course, sexual immorality and the belief in evolution, we're just animals, and abortion, you could kill the innocent, it all piles up.
Well, it does, and we have stolen the hope from an entire generation because of this. And you know, when we talk about evolution, here in the next few days, there's a movie that's going to be opening.
And it's called Expelled.
Yes.
With Ben Stein.
Right.
I've been so anxious to see this movie.
Well, and you know that I was interviewed for this movie. I have no idea in the end result if my interview will be used or not.
In the final cut. Right.
Right. But I do know that what they have put together, I think, is going to be really powerful and really compelling. And when you go to that website and find all the people who are pro-evolution who are now mad that they've been interviewed because they know they're going to be exposed.
Yeah, right.
I think this movie's probably going to have a big impact.
Like Richard Dawkins and others.
Yeah.
Richard Dawkins was interviewed. Fred Williams, who does Real Science Friday programs with me on the show, he likes to recount where Richard Dawkins was interviewed, and he thought it was for evolutionists. Turns out it was for creationists. And he's the famous evolutionist in England. And they asked him, well, could you give us an example of where there was a mutation that actually increased the information content in the DNA in the genome? And he sat for what seemed like an eternity, about 30 seconds, and he couldn't think of one example. And there should be millions upon billions of examples in a million species. And he was angry. And he said, cut, cut. I don't want that used. Do not use that. And that was Richard Dawkins.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. That's why they're so determined to be in the schools, because if they can get people from a young age and teach them that this is the way things are, often as people get older, they will never question it. Mm-hmm. And they're really dependent on that, because the facts, the evidence does not support their position.
Mm-hmm. I happened to meet a gentleman this morning. I don't know if he was an atheist or an agnostic. At a coffee shop. His name is Jack, and last name rhymes with pillow. And Jack is a neat guy, and we talked about this very issue. And I told him about this movie coming out, Expelled, with Ben Stein, and that liberals who pride themselves in free speech and tolerance of all ideas, they have this absolute dogma that they are enforcing that you cannot question the status quo or you will be fired from our universities. Scientists who question Darwinism, they merely question it and say, I don't think the evidence is there. They are fired. There is no tolerance for intellectual freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. It is gone in this ruthless world of socialist Darwinism.
Well, that's right. And of course, from a scientific point of view, once you stop asking questions, you can't learn anything else. Mm. And in this case, they're absolutely enforcing that you never question what they're putting out.
Yeah, that's right. So, Brian, you mentioned the school shooting this week. And, of course, we could question which one.
That's
because
right.
We've got to the point earlier, somebody pointed out that this article about the Northern Illinois shooting on WorldNet Daily, it's headline number 15. It's so far down the page because this is becoming part of the noise of our culture. There was another fatal shooting. Actually, I don't know if it would have been fatal, but in Oxnard, California, in Silicon Valley, a 14-year-old boy murdered a 15-year-old boy. Do I have that right? Yeah, a 14-year-old boy was charged with premeditated murder. He shot a 15-year-old, and you know what they did to that kid? They harvested his organs. They said that he was brain dead, which is an awfully scary diagnosis to make, and they harvested his organs, and now he's dead.
Right.
Tallahassee, Florida, a school had death threats and warnings just today. And so this is happening, of course. It's becoming part of our American culture.
Well, it is. And, you know, the thing is, instead of ending the violence at the schools, the murders, we're being told to accept it. The news media covers it in such a way as it's almost like it's treated like it's a traffic accident or something.
Yeah, the first thing said often is there was nothing we could do to avoid this.
Well, in this particular case, I heard on the radio that the police are claiming that there's absolutely nothing they could have done to prevent that.
Hmm.
And it's my opinion and my prediction that we're going to find that is a bold-faced lie.
That's often in the cases that are now passed. We've seen time and again that that's often not the case. They say, we wish we could have seen the warning signs, like they said with Columbine. They were flashing neon signs, banners.
Right.
These people want to kill kids.
Right. And this doesn't happen in a vacuum. Mm. So almost for sure, we're going to find evidence that there were many people who knew that there were a ton of warning signs, that there were threats. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if this guy sent videotapes or other information to someone in the media.
Mm.
So, you know, we don't know for sure, but when the police come out immediately and say there is nothing they could do,
yeah,
just keep your eyes open, because almost for sure that statement means that they had more knowledge than what they'd like you to question.
When you have a campus with over 10,000 students and all these factors, it seems like it would take weeks of investigation to figure out there's nothing you could have done. To say that immediately, it's almost like a guilt reflex, if not for a particular reason, just for the whole system, to defend the system.
That's what they did at Columbine. And then through the years of investigation, we learned that they had the records of the two criminals there at their police command center the day of the shooting.
At the scene,
right,
in front of Columbine, they had the files of the murderers, the two murderers.
Right.
And when they said there's nothing we could have done, that these things were lies. They were challenged. And they denied, in fact, that...
Well, they denied it in court. It took years for us to force the stuff released. But the truth is...
Well, a search warrant,
right,
that was... the application was put together, and then it just mysteriously disappeared.
Right. This was intentional on their part.
Mm-hmm.
And so... the first words I've heard out of the police in this case make me very suspicious, because in the cases where the police really don't know, they say things like, we're going to do a thorough investigation and report what we find.
We're going to find out.
Right. They say they're going to find out. As soon as you hear early on that we don't know, that's something that you should question.
Well,
keep
Brian,
your eyes open at least.
I want to talk more about this, and the murderer's father was quoted very briefly by CNN. So I'd like to get to that. But first, in Palmer Lakes, Colorado, Violet, you're on with Brian Rohrbaugh and Bob Enyart.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
I wanted to call about what you were talking about yesterday about the government wasting so much money on senior citizens.
Yes, yes, yes.
But you didn't give a reason why you believe that.
Okay. It's, Violet, if I want... to buy something of benefit for my kids, it would be wrong for me to come to your house and take your money and use it to buy some benefit for my kids. That's wrong, and vice versa. But socialism ignores God's command, do not steal. And socialism says that the government could take a virtually unlimited amount of money from anyone and give it to others.
Yeah, but what I wanted to make a comment about was, or ask you a question, don't you think that these senior citizens have contributed to society? They have paid for other people.
That's true.
When they were working and paying Social Security and
that's
taxes
true.
And everything.
Violet, it's not wrong to take a benefit from a government welfare program, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. It's not wrong to take that because we have all paid in.
Right.
But it's wrong to defend it. It's wrong to defend the system.
I'd like to make another comment. Now, if the churches were doing what they're supposed to do, is help the poor and help the widows and the orphans.
Well, the churches can't, because the government takes half of our money in taxes. And the government is now the...
Well, I thought the churches were tax exempt.
No, that's not true. But go ahead, Brian. Robert.
Well, they are tax exempt.
At some level.
But the members of the church are not. And so as much as 50% of their income is being taken by the government, much of which is used against their will and against their beliefs for evil things.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem is, the church used to be doing all these things, but once the government got in the business of welfare, then the church kind of got out of it, and the money was controlled by the government. And so you do have a problem all the way through with that, but we can't correct the problem by making it worse and lobbying for specific groups to get their share or more than their share. And I think that's what Bob was talking about.
What do you think about the televangelists that are always begging for money and taking money from widows? And if a widow was hungry and went to them, do you think they would help them? I don't think so. They have all these mansions and I heard a while back they were going to investigate some of these people, and I haven't heard another thing about it.
Well, I think there's two things. One, if someone is defrauding people, of course that's wrong. It's always wrong. That would make them a thief, and what they're doing is evil. On the other hand, consider what you're saying. Let's say like this show, which has to depend on the donations of the listener for its support.
Oh, I understand
okay.
that.
So
you're not begging for money and saying, well, God's going to do this, and he's
right.
going to, you know, he's going to bless you a hundredfold, and that may happen and it may not
you'll
happen.
You'll be healed. If you have cancer, send in $1,000 and you'll be healed.
Well, of course we don't do that, but my point, the point I was going to make is these people, if they're doing that thing, it's clearly wicked. But you can't really parallel that to the government who is taking, compelling you to give them money.
Violet,
well, they're almost compelling people because they scare them. They say, well, now, if you don't give
you're right.
Going to have to spend it on doctor bills or whatever.
Violet, the televangelists basically sell miracles. They're frauds, and they should be prosecuted for fraud.
Right, they really should.
And they discredit the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Now, real quickly, socialism. When you hear that word, socialism, do you recognize that as something good or something evil?
Something evil.
It is evil. Socialism is when the government uses its force of authority, mm-hmm. takes money from some people and gives it to others. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. There is no justification for that. It violates God's command, do not steal. And little by little, you and all of us are being sucked into socialism. Mm-hmm. The government should not be taking money from you and giving it to me, or from me and giving it to you, let alone giving you $27,000 a year in direct money and benefits, when my kids, who are in their early 20s and struggling with two jobs and to pay bills, mm-hmm. when they're struggling the way they are, senior citizens are far more well off financially than our young families in their 20s.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have children too that are taxes.
Yeah, so young families are being strangled,
yeah.
risking themselves financially, even stress and their mental well-being, and the AARP mm-hmm. couldn't care less about those young kids. They are squeezing the grandkids to improve benefits for their grandparents.
Yeah, but what about welfare benefits for
it
people
should
that
all
don't
be done away
work,
with. Violet.
Take dope. And
okay, and
women
we're going to have
that
to go.
Have babies one right after another. We all have to.
Violet, it should all be done away with.
Absolutely.
Thank
I
you
agree.
For your call.
I agree.
I'd like to
Thank
end
you,
on a note of agreement. God bless you,
Thank
Violet.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was yesterday's show about the government. We're swimming in socialism, and most of it's thanks to the Republicans who've increased social spending at a far greater rate than the Democrats over the last half century.
Right.
So it's a shame. And that's violating do not steal. Then we have do not murder. And so the result in all these tragic school shootings, Brian, the father of the shooter, was contacted on his front porch by a reporter and an affiliate of CNN's. And he said this. He said, please leave me alone. I have no statement to make. It's a very hard time. I'm a diabetic. And then he broke down in tears, and that was it. And of course, I know that people can't think on their feet quite often in emotions, but how does that compare? I seem to recall how that compares to Columbine.
Well, you had the Klebolds put a statement out that said, please respect their privacy. Hmm. And that was, you know, that's kind of what the guilty do. You know, if this were to happen to me, if I were in that position, hmm. I hope that I'd be wise enough to first say that I was sorry. Hmm. You know, for the injury, for the death of these people, someone in my family would do that.
Right. I'm so sorry for what my family member did. If there are any questions, I want to be available to the victims.
Right.
To answer fully. If there's anything I've done wrong, to, you know, be a bad parent, to be a bad example.
Right.
I want it to be publicly known.
Well, exactly, because if you really care about people, if you're not guilty, then, of course, you can't undo the crime, and, of course, you're going to mourn. for all that's happened, but you also want to protect people in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so this statement, you know, maybe it won't turn out this way, but this first statement, you know, is not very encouraging.
Right. In fact, the church shootings here in Colorado a few weeks ago, that shooter's family was a bit different, if I recall.
Right.
I think they were more more sincere and more of a godly attitude toward the victims.
I agree with that. And if I remember right, I believe that they said they wouldn't have a comment before they, you know, before the funerals took place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they indicated they would speak to the victims' families and that type of thing, which, you know, you can't fix this when it happens.
No.
But being humble, being honest, having the decency to say you're sorry, that goes a long ways.
Yeah.
And look, the victims' families are going to have the press at their doors. So to act like somehow that if you're from the family of the murderer, you have some special position to be left alone.
Please respect our privacy.
Right. It's ridiculous.
That reminds me of, in a perverse way, MoveOn.org. After Bill Clinton admitted that he committed perjury, he lied, the liberals like to say this is his private sex life. He's an official, a government official at work, and also not only one time in the Oval Office, but through his career as a public servant, he pays women for sex with tax dollars by giving these young women government jobs.
Right.
He gives them government jobs. He gets sex from them while he's a governing official, and they get jobs at the Pentagon, at wherever, in the state of Arkansas. And then when he finally is caught because of the State of the Union address, it was actually a blue dress. That was the State of the Union. But then he said, look, I did it. And so now let's just move on. As though he doesn't have the right to decide when the nation is going to move on. When you have a hand in some way in something bad, it's not up to you to say that's it, it's over.
Right.
It's up to people to deal with it and process it and the victims to go through. And, you know, now I think with Hillary, Bill and Hillary, and fast forward a decade, I think on Judgment Day, we're going to find out that hundreds of thousands of young girls growing up during that time have been sexually broken by the perversion of that discussion in our culture.
Oh, no question about it. And even in the legal system, as bad as it was, as broken as it was before Clinton's activities, it became even worse and really a mockery when the issue of what is means becomes paramount in whether this guy's guilty or not. You can see how flawed the legal system is.
It depends on what the meaning of the word is. When we were down for a week at the opening of the Clinton Library in Arkansas, what an event that was.
The double wide.
The double wide trailer, just in case Hillary gets into the White House, you're going to have a double wide down on the, by the riverbank, no less. But because that's what the Clinton Library looks like. It looks like a trailer down at the river. And we pointed out to the media in the interviews we did down there, and we really turned that whole event upside down, absolutely upside down.
You have a habit of being where that happens.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens, right? But I remember being interviewed by the media a few times when we were there and pointing out that the library has one of those big display dictionaries, and it's permanently open to the entry for the word is. You know, that's that.
Right.
That's part of the whole library deal. But what a tragedy. And so young women, I believe by the hundreds of thousands, have picked up on that lie that, you know, this behavior is not sex.
Right.
And it has destroyed them, just destroyed them. And that's part of the legacy of Hillary Clinton being a standby my man, enabler for the lead guy who treats women like filth in the gutter and has a woman feminist enabling and defending him.
Yeah. And it, of course, the harm to the country, I don't think, can be overstated.
Mm.
And these things, you know, these thoughts have consequences, these actions have consequences, and sadly in this country, you know, we see it, and the innocent, the most vulnerable, almost always pay the highest price. And of course, that includes the unborn children and those who are being born and those who have just been born. Yeah. And the death and destruction of the innocent just destroys the fabric of the family and of society. And that's why we work so hard to try to end the crime of abortion.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I believe that psychotropic drugs had some role to play in the Columbine murders. So many of the schools, they've had a role to play, like Ritalin and others. And now in this school shooting also, there are some who say that the murderer had just gotten off his meds a few weeks ago or so.
Yeah, though, and I don't know which of these reports is going to turn out to be true and what won't turn out to be true. Mm-hmm. But there seems to be something to those drugs. And clearly, the government schools, the public schools, they have a real vested interest in telling you that your kids need to be on drugs. Mm-hmm. And I never quite understood why until I found out that in Jefferson County, they got an additional $1,000 per year if they could get your kids on one of those drugs because they could label them special needs.
Yeah, they're a special ed kid, they're learning disabled, and that's absolutely right. And what is there, 13 million kids in America on these psychotropic drugs, which you could give them all a rum and coke mid-morning, make them all chill out a little bit and enjoy the day more. You could try that. But it used to be all we had was discipline, and that worked fine. Then you get rid of that and you have ADD, which stands for adult discipline disorder. Adults don't know how to discipline.
That's right.
Yeah.
And again, the children pay the price. Mm. And so I've heard you talk about it. I've talked about it. If you're a Christian and you have your kids in a government school, I challenge you. Call this show and tell us what biblical reference you have to putting your kids there.
Yeah, in a Philistine school.
Yeah, I'd just like to know what the standard is. And I'm one who's guilty. My son died because of it. So I know what the potential cost is. So when you hear me saying this, it's because I care about your kids, not because I'm trying to be mean to you. But consider biblically, how much does your faith mean? You know, how important is it to you?
And it's the salt and light argument that is now so old and has failed. And people say, oh, I'm sending my 8-year-old to be a missionary to the school, which is utterly godless.
Right. That's a fallacy and, all in itself.
Yeah, and overwhelms him. And then when that 8-year-old is 13 years old and is starting to do marijuana, sleeping with his girlfriend, you know what? They don't take him out of the school.
That's right.
So what? They're still missionaries even once they're destroyed. So that shows the lie. And everybody knows the schools are bad, but the Christian parents think, well, the one in our neighborhood is okay.
That's what we all think.
Right.
And the truth is, no, it's not. It's right. At least as bad as the one you're hearing about on the news, right. Probably worse.
Yeah, that's right. So, Brian Rohrbaugh, thank you for joining me in studio.
Thank you.
All right. Our telethon, we're up to $4,800, and our goal is $25,000. So we're almost 20% of the way. We need your help with the one-time or a monthly gift. Please call us 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, or online kgov.com. And Maranatha, what a great school, Maranatha.